Welcome, one and all, Hatzach from Greece. This is the new Yiddish Rep Radio Hour. David Mandelbaum here. Got some things to talk about this week. First thing, right off the bat, I know is on everybody's mind. Yiddish speakers and Hebrew speakers and a lot of people. Mel Gibson is going to do a movie about the Maccabees. And I understand that this has raised a storm of protest in some. Forgive me. Well, I just want you to know that I'm going on the record as saying I'm all for it. And go get him, Mel. Do for us what you did for me in Apocalypto. I mean, listen, he's good at that kind of thing, and he's a good director and a good actor, and I think what he wants to be when he does things that he's serious about, and I wish him luck with it. I'm curious to see what it turns out to be and what language he produces it in, some form of Syriac or something. Anyway, that's right off the bat. I would have preferred him to do something with regard to Yiddish, some Yiddish epic, which I think would have been interesting. And he's the one that does these films the actual languages of the period. So, however, this is okay. So that's it for that. I'd like to go over some of the things coming up because we really haven't had a chance to talk about them too much. And on the calendar this Thursday, we will be resuming the Yiddish Theater Workshop, the itinerant, chillant Yiddish Theater Workshop. And this week it will once again be at 127 West 24th Street here in Manhattan at 7 p.m. We're going to start with a little bit of vocal warm-up and then a workshop led by Milena Kardusky will take place, followed by an hour or so of readings in Yiddish Seder. Should be fun. Come on down. It's open to the public. Afterwards, of course, there will be the ever ubiquitous chillant. I don't yet know who the lecturer will be this week, but it's always someone of interest. There's always chillant. There's always a great variety of interesting and odd people. People like myself and others, and I think you'll find it interesting. It goes through the night, so if you're walking around the streets of Manhattan at 2 o'clock in the morning and you want to drop in and say hello, I assure you someone will be there. You usually have the opportunity if you come, and especially if you come to the workshops. You'll have the opportunity to chat in Yiddish and you know, use Malalashin if you desire to do so. And that is this Thursday, the 15th. Again, we start at 7 p.m. And going forward, I want to let you know who some of the guests will be on Thursday evenings. Let's see, on October 6th, October 27th, we're going to have Shane Baker teaching a recitation workshop, a Wortkunst workshop, and Nama Sandra will speak on November 3rd about Yiddish theater and where it's headed, the direction of Yiddish theater. On November 14th and 17th, We're going to have master workshops given by Raful Goldwasser, who will be here from his resident theater in Strasbourg, France. He's coming over here to workshop a show together with New Yiddish Rep, a co-production of Luft Theater France. By the way, thank you to the region of Alsace-Lorraine for their support for the Luft Theater. And he will be teaching a master class based on his methodology of teaching Yiddish performance art. And it's quite interesting. It's based on a great deal of work that's Raful has been studying and working and creating for many, many, many years. His approach is quite unique. And anyone who's serious about wanting to get an insight into Yiddish theater I don't quite know how to describe it. You know, Raful has a whole exercise in which he elicits sounds from people, and it starts out with things that you wouldn't ordinarily connect with the sound that it becomes. Or sounds like "oi," and in the end, you have this whole bunch of people seemingly on their own eliciting a sound is similar to, they're all similar, but the starting point was something totally different. And he has a really wonderful way of bringing things out in people. And that's something you have to experience and something you have to be open to. It's not for everybody. I think you have to say that one needs to be somewhat of a risk taker to do this kind of work. So that's on the 14th, a Monday of November, and on the 17th of November, a Thursday. That Thursday, it will be after Chillant. It will be, I mean, not after, before Chillant, as the theater workshop for that evening. And then on December 1st, Moshe Yasur will be teaching an acting workshop. So we've already got a very exciting lineup of theater professionals participating in this. And I hope some of you who aren't listening out there will pass this along to folks who you think might be interested, or if you yourself are interested, please feel free to come down and participate. Yes, so I wanted to talk a little more about Yiddish Farm, just to update people that work is going forward. And this week, I hope to help put up the greenhouse that has, I take it, arrived in Goshen, New York. I know that the goal was to get it up before the holidays, to get the thing erected before the holidays. And hopefully that is moving along apace. There will be another big Yiddish farm, excuse me, Asifa, at some point in the future. I know that's being planned. And upon reflection, I think that the first spurt of programming was quite successful and a real achievement. And I'm hoping that it continues on in that vein and flowers into something that a lot of people have been talking about, but you know, I haven't been able to actually bring to fruition. So let's see what happens. Well, it looks like New Yiddish Rip will be the only one producing an actual Yiddish theater piece in New York this fall. There actually don't seem to be any others on the board. I guess we have that distinction. We're going to be workshopping again with Raphael Goldwasser and under the direction of Moshe Yasur. An adaptation of some works from Shalom Aleichem. The name of the piece will be Agenten. Agenten is a one act that was first done in the early 20s by Gosset, the Russian Soviet Yiddish theater company. It was, I think, the first production that Marc Chagall designed the sets for. It was done in as an evening of one acts with two others. Raphael has actually taken Agenten and the one act and interwoven two short stories from a series called the Eisenbahngeschichte, railroad stories. Agenten also takes place on a train, and so he's woven these three together into what I think, and it will be further workshopped and developed in the rehearsal process, and I think it's a pretty it's a fun piece. It's I think it will please, and we will be working on it this October, and it will be presented on November 13th, Sunday, at 1:30 p.m. at the Shalom Aleichem Center in the Bronx. You'll hear more about that as we get closer to it. And then in Manhattan, it will be presented on the 15th and 16th at a location to be announced. And in Brooklyn, it will I guess that'll be the first performance, yeah. On November 9th, it's a Wednesday night. And that'll be at Temple Beth Emeth in Brooklyn, New York. I'm looking forward to it. I know some of the other people participating in it are too. And more on that as we get closer to it. I needed to pause for a moment and collect my thoughts. It's been an interesting summer, and there have been a lot of things going on, almost mind-boggling. The number of festivals and the number of events that take place during the summer that have to do with klezmer, that start with the words klez, or that have klezmer in their official titles or missions. There are also a good many Yiddish festivals and Yiddish classes, Yiddish all over Europe, London, Brussels, and Poland, Vilnius. I don't know, the list goes on. Germany has a few, I believe. The United States, there is Klez Canada, there's the Weimar Summer Program, there are, this year there was the Gullis Festival, which was the entry of the Yiddish Farm party, I guess you would say. I guess I've said it before, but the thing that I wonder about, and it's great that all these things go on, is there really some, what comes out of these things that has a more than glancing impact on the future of Yiddish culture. Unless you think that klezmer is the and nostalgic musicals are the future of Yiddish culture. It's pretty grim as far as I'm concerned, but I don't believe so, and I think that there may be some light at the end of the tunnel. This fall the Yiddish Farm program is very exciting. The Chillant, how it has evolved, and Yiddish Farm is really was really a juncture of Chillant and an organization called Jugendtreff, and some other people. Really, you might say that the whole Yiddish Farm thing was really Chillant was the midwife of this whole thing. So there's a lot of happening there. This collaboration with the Frau Goldwasser and the Lufttheater is a very exciting thing, and it does not happen very often that the two Yiddish theaters will actually work together to co-develop and co-produce a new work. Raful has worked for the Volksbühne, and they have just—they've bought his products, his creations. I think it's very rare for two Yiddish theaters to work together to put something up. I guess if it takes crossing the ocean, that's what needs to be done. But I'm only half joking. I mean, crossing the ocean is obviously what needs to be done. There are Yiddish theaters. They're in Israel, in Poland, in Romania, in New York, in Australia, and there are people working in Yiddish theater and on Yiddish theater in all these places. So obviously oceans need to be crossed, and it is far overdue that an international effort be mounted. We just need to find the will to do it. It would be wonderful to see a international Yiddish theater company that not only functions as a theater company, but functions as a school, as an academy, functions as a cultural center, brings together the various Jewish communities around Yiddish, and it's beginning to happen. You take one step forward and you take two back, and that's how it is. I hope that it will become consistent, that there will be consistency, and that every season we will go forward with the same positive energy that I think exists now. I'm sure there'll be disappointments, and I'm sure there'll be setbacks. I feel there's a lot of energy and a lot of positive energy in the air, and it may be possible to begin to have a real working, permanent Yiddish theater in this town. Not in the near future, but at some point down the road. It is interesting that the periods between the summers are can be very very well, I don't know how to put it, barren. Anyway, I'm just rambling along here, folks, because I guess there are a lot of things I have to say. I'm not sure that I want to say. So you can't hear me biting my tongue, but I am as my thoughts ramble on, as they do when I start to think about Yiddish culture and Yiddish theater and who's involved, the players in it, and the people that I've met and the experiences that I've had with them. And the thing is, there are a lot of very, very interesting, very, very committed people that are thinking about it and working on it. And that's why I'm optimistic. There's still some real obstacles that need to be overcome. And and there are still people who I would love to see take a more active role and be more involved, that have to some extent been exiled from the loop and have done their own thing and done it very well, but it would be a real boon to have Avi Hoffman back in a very active role in Yiddish theater. He has so much to offer, and he's such a huge talent. It would be wonderful to see some of the a young actor from Poland come over here and work. Work with. I'd love for him. I would have, you know, would have been my choice to have him come over and work with Raful and the rest of the company that's going to be involved in again. I mean, and that's only one of many actors, I think, who would love to participate in this kind of program. And hopefully at some point in the future, it will be possible for them to do so. Yeah. I wanted to also announce to those of you not listening that we finally have received our tax-exempt status from the IRS. We are now an official 501c3 organization, and that means that any donations you wish to make are 100% absolutely above board and on the level tax deductible. And those of you who have already helped us out, it is retroactive to when we began our cooperation. So that's a bit of good news, and hopefully it will help us to go after the grant money that's out there. It's a very interesting thing to look at the grant giving. It's an industry. Once you look into it, philanthropy is a big industry, and there's a lot of money involved. There's $330 billion a year is donated to various tax-exempt organizations in this country. It's a lot of money. Now, and it has created an industry, and once you create an industry, you create it's created a bureaucracy as well that is, not as, not as efficient sometimes as, but I have to say that 71% of the of that 300 and some odd billion is donated by individuals. I think it's 74.8% of it is accounted for by individual donors. And then there are foundations and government agencies and so on and so forth. And even a small percentage of it, even 12% of $336 billion, represents a great deal of money. Some of this money is for general support, which means that it goes for salaries and it goes for expenses and it goes for this and that and the other thing. And, you know, we all know how that goes. It's a huge thing. And you have to know your way around it. And people make a living writing grants for other organizations and raising money. I don't know if I'm quite ready for that, but at least I'm in the game. At least I'm in the field. I don't have to go to another organization at this point and solicit funds under someone else's umbrella, which is a good thing. And also I can now look for a share of the grant money that's out there. So that's good news, and I hope if you are interested in making a donation, by the way, you can go to the website newyiddishrep.org and email me, and I had a donate thing on the page. You know, I had a PayPal donate button, and I guess I'll put it back up. I had something in my brain went a little awry, and I took it down. Of course, it was inactive, so it was taking up space. But hopefully, that will change. Feel free to send us a check. You can go to our website and give me a call, and I will tell you where to send it to. We're working on the website as we speak right now. I blanked out our website. You know, it was like I felt like I blanked out a few years of my life, but I had to do it because there were things on it, not just because they were outdated, but because the relationships between the individuals had changed and various political things. So I just got tired of it, and I just took everything off. Left one face page up that is, of course, outdated as well, but I'm close to being happy with what the new website will look like. I want to keep it very, very simple. No bells and whistles and nothing fancy. Just the straight information and good programming. And I think we're on the right track. It's a marvelous thing to see a bunch of people who've never had the experience or have never done it before to, after just a few sessions, get up and perform a play. It's fun. It's odd. You know, it's funny how some people react to it. Some people get very, very nervous. I don't know if I can do this. And some people are very, very eager and really want to participate. And the results are sometimes surprising, the end results. But it's always fun. We work without pressure. There's no... it helps if you come to the workshops. It helps if you speak Yiddish, or not speak it, but can read it with a certain amount of fluency. Part of our problem is that we don't have enough transliterated material, or at least I don't have it in my possession. There may be a great deal of it, what I have asked for that I know of, I've gotten from people, but there isn't a lot of it. And I think that even people who don't normally speak Yiddish would be comfortable with working with the transliteration. I'm also thinking that it might be in certain, from time to time, productive to work in English as well. Keeping the material having a strong Jewish context, or even a strong Yiddish context. I shouldn't the other way around. Although at this point, and I've said it before, I still don't know the difference between I still don't know how to differentiate between what I think of as Jewish identity and Yiddish culture. I know people's. This leads to this whole thing about the Falasha and the Sephardim and the various different. And that's. I'm talking about me. I'm talking about me as a typical Ashkenazic Jew. I granted that there is a Sephardic element of the culture that I am really not that familiar with, despite the fact that there are ties by marriage between people in my family and have married people from Sephardic families. At first, that was very. At first, it was a real, the Ashkenazic, the intersection of North African and Sephardic Jewry and Ashkenazic Jewry in Israel at first was not particularly amicable. It was political, but there was not a great deal of amity between the Ashkenazic community and the Arabs. Marriages between the two communities were, especially by the Ashkenazis, not encouraged, at least in my family. But that's all changed now, and it's much more open, much more. Most of that is gone, thank God. And so I acknowledge, of course, that there are other strains of Jewish culture, but I'm talking about me and what I have related to all my life and what the people around, most of the people around me have related to. And I find the only way I can describe it is, to me, it seems more Yiddish than Jewish. It seems more appropriate. I don't know. Maybe this is all bullshit anyway. It's just, what's important is that what does not happen is that Yiddish does not go the way of Ladino, which was the Yiddish of the North African and Middle Eastern Sephardic community and others, I'm sure, that hailed from the golden age of Spanish Jewry and Portuguese Jewry. Before the expulsions. Keep that. We have to keep that. I think that's something important to keep in mind. We still have a shot at making Yiddish more than either an academic pursuit or a cultural oddity, something ethnocentric and I don't know, mundane. It's the only way I can describe it. And the great, what really is disturbing is the fact that the great Yiddish classics are just neglected. Are you know, nobody does them. Not in Yiddish, at any rate. And it, when you do find, for instance, you take a play like the Dybbuk, which in other languages, in English and other languages, is done all the time. People do it all the time, and I could point to several productions just last season here and in Montreal. I think the most interesting would probably have been the one in Montreal, although I didn't see it. And it did use Yiddish. It had the Dybbuk speak in Yiddish, so I think there's a lot of value to that approach, and I hope that Avi Amor, the artistic director of the theater company that produced it, does more of that wonderful looking work. I did not see the show, but I can imagine a show like that that uses five women to play all the characters. And I saw the sets and the costumes, and it was really striking. There are certain plays that get, The Golem is getting some exposure. There's a company doing a production of The Golem this season. But plays like Mirella Ephrus and T.S. Kaff and De Puste Kretschmer and some of Pinsky's work, and they don't. There are so many that don't get any attention whatsoever, and never see the light of day anymore. So that's really what we have a chance to preserve, is an awareness and an appreciation of that tradition, and that I think will only happen if we produce these shows. Now I'm very happy to be producing this show, the Shalom Aleichem piece. You know, it's a new piece. I mean, it has a unique approach, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Shalom Aleichem, of course, it was the movie that just came out, is now moving on to Los Angeles and getting some notice there. Excellent movie, really informative and fun. You know, it's nice to be doing some of Shalom Aleichem's work, but it would be lovely to be able to do some of the serious Yiddish dramas and do them in Yiddish. That's the one thing that we have not been able to do at New Yiddish Rep, and something that I find very discouraging and very upsetting. I have to say we've done some excellent work, and some great things have come out of the work that we've done, some people have come into their own to some extent through the work that we've done, and it's nurtured some very talented writers and actors. So I'm very pleased. However, my original concept was to have a repertory company that at this point would be producing several months of theater a year, and performing in repertoire, performing five or six or even seven different plays by now, so that people would have a chance to be exposed to these classics before it becomes impossible to nurture the general public away from the notion that their stereotypical notion of what Yiddish theater is. And there are some sad things too. The traveling Jewish theater in San Francisco is closing down. That's sad news. They were one of the most innovative of the Jewish theater companies around, and they did wonderful, wonderful work. The first show they ever did was one of the most enchanting evenings of theater I've ever seen, called Coming from a Far Distance, I think it was called, and it was about the Baal Shem Tov. It was wonderful, wonderful. I saw it once in New York. Was it at Theater for the New City or La Mama? I can't remember. And then I saw it at the first and last International Jewish Theater Festival at Tel Aviv University in 1982. It really rocked me. I just did not have any idea that theater could look or sound or be as intimately compelling as what these actors and the director presented. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff going by the wayside. As the field becomes narrower, the chances, and as I'm biting my tongue again. I guess I've spent a lot of time this show biting my tongue. And will continue to do so. But let me tell you about some of the things that I hope to bring you next week. Next week, I hope to have a further update on the Yiddish Farm saga, the construction of the greenhouse, and plans for the future, possibly an announcement on the next Asifa, the next meeting. I hope to have an interview with Milena Kartofsky and talk to her about the workshop that she's getting ready to give at the theater workshop. I also hope to be able to tell you, finalize the location of the Manhattan performances of Argentin. I just want to go over those performances, the dates again. November 9th will be in Brooklyn at Temple Beth Emes. On the 13th will be in the Bronx at the Shalom Aleichem Center. On the 14th, Raful Goldwasser will be giving the first of his master classes. On the 15th, and 16th, we will be doing Argentin again in Manhattan. And on the 17th, Rafi will give his final master class just before Shulamit. By the way, this is September 22nd, which is a Thursday as well. It's 2 weeks from, it's a week from this Thursday, actually. We'll be out at Temple Beth Emeth and in the Congress for Jewish Culture and SECO Books, is in conjunction with New Yiddish Rep, going to present a concert out there. Pete Krzyzewski will be involved, and there'll be some other guests. I hope to put that up on the website soon. So you can come out there. It's at 83 Marlborough Road. It's the Q Church Avenue stop. And it's just a couple of blocks from there, a short walk from there. Come out, there'll be coffee and cookies, and I'm sure you'll enjoy it. Yes, I wanted to talk to you about a show that Moshe Yasur is directing, and it will be at the Castillo Theater Company. It's on 42nd Street, I think between 10th and 11th. And it's an interesting show about four Jews traveling on a ship coming to America after the war. And they, in the course of their voyage, tell each other Hasidic tales of Hasidic masters. A very interesting choice for Castillo, and really a very positive statement by them, I think. And I am looking forward to unfortunately, I could not participate in the production because I'll be working with Rafi, and Moshe's direction will end just as the rehearsal process for Argentum will begin taking place. So that works out conveniently. But it did not leave me in a position to do both, so naturally the Argentum was a priority for me. But keep an eye out for that. I'll be putting that up on the website too, and you'll have an opportunity to see it. Castillo has a beautiful facility. They've got two beautiful theaters, and they have their own way of doing things. I have to say, I auditioned for them once before, and it was interesting. And I did, you know, there's some people who have problems with them. I didn't mind at all. You know, they ask for things that sometimes put people off. For instance, they insist that the actors be available at the end of every performance to greet the audience. So the actors line up outside in the corridor, and as the audience files out, they have a chance to greet the actors if they choose to do so. I think that's wonderful. Apparently, from what they told me, it's a deal breaker for some people. They just don't want to do it. They do have their own particular way of doing things. But I enjoyed the production I saw, which Moshe Yasur was in. Technically, everything was first rate. And I'm certainly looking forward to seeing this one. I hope some of you will take the opportunity to see it as well. So there are going to be a lot more things added to the calendar as time, as the next few weeks progress. One of the things that I've talked about that I am hopeful we will be able to present in the second half of November or early December is a reading of a play by Jean-Claude Bloomberg. It will be the first time it's ever been presented in the United States. It has been done in Israel in Hebrew. He wrote it in French. It's called Towards the Promised Land, Towards a Promised Land. And we'll also be doing a short piece of his called Mom is Coming Back, Poor Orphan, which is a stream of consciousness piece, and be very curious to see how that turns out. And I am still hopeful that we will be able to present that one in Yiddish. Stay tuned for that. I have a great deal of ambition for the rest of the season. I hope I can muster the energy and to match, but I am determined. Once again, I want to announce that we are now a tax-exempt organization. You can make a donation to us and take a tax deduction. We're a fully 501c3 organization. And for those of you not listening out there, no donation is too small. And, of course, we will not turn down any donation, no matter how big it is. So, if you want to make a donation, or you have any special, you want any plaques put up, or any special requests like that, want us to name a theater after one of your loved ones, just go to the website and give me a call. I'll be happy to talk to you about it. I don't mean to be irreverent, but it is the way things work. What can we do but accept it and occasionally laugh at it? I my own view is that the arts should be supported from public revenues, like health education and health insurance and education and various other things. I'm biting my tongue. Of course, 9/11. It's been very solemn. And listen, if we don't understand loss, certainly we can all understand what that kind of loss is about. What can I say? Anyone who has lost a loved one as a victim to blind malice and prejudice and ignorance, it hurts. And to all those who would, on this particular day, lost loved ones, condolences, and may the world, may Messiah come soon. So whether you believe in him or not, it's been really a pleasure to be here tonight and talk to you. Next week, I'm going to have some guests and some interviews to present to you, so that you can not listen to them. And right now, I'm going to play a little music for you, and hope that you enjoy it. The thing you heard at the beginning was "Hot Canary" by Joe Venuti, and now I'm going to play for you a little song.
Od iets te wit, onschuit zich wat klein liederle, a weg te weinen, en ze vrijdag zijn. Denn sie hat er, ach, mitgebrengt a fiddle, es ist noch leicht, sie fliegen weit, dem Tobus dich, in stilbares geprägt war. Ich hab gemeint, die Welt wird mir zergeigt. Oh, und mein Osu, von dem Stück gelassen wird, es lebt das Haus, und wacht mir dort. Die Jungen freuen, die am Wind, und ich zerbleibe. Die Liebe bleibt noch, und ich denk, sie riecht nach heim. Ich bin am Ende zu Hause verdrehen, ich bin verloren. Mein Herz winkt heim, ich will heim. Und sitzt der Riech, und schreit ihre kleinen Lieder leid. Da trägt sie weinen und sie fragt lang. Hört sie und denkt, auch nicht gebrennt dafür alle. Es ist noch leicht zu fliegen weit.
There sits a Jew and writes a little song. Reminds me of my grandfather, who used to sit around and write little songs. Actually, they're still sung today in some of the Hasidic communities around the world. And we had occasion to sing some of his, at least one of his songs, at Yiddish Farm. His name was... Elchunin Wolf Klokspel, and some of his songs have been published. He used to take liturgical pieces and write music to them and translate them into Yiddish, and had a chorus back home. I can't believe that I said that. Back home in Chibin. Which I have never seen, and frankly, don't know if I'd have the stomach to see. But at any rate, we're getting close to sign-out time, and I don't want to wax maudlin on you at this late hour in the show. So I'll take you out with what I think is another sweet song, and hope that. You all have a great week, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks.